the time of Lent is approaching even closer now. It's only about a week and a half from today that this time will begin. So it's time for us to start preparing our souls for this time of penance. Whenever we have an important job to do, especially if we have a limited time in which we can do it, we always plan carefully in advance exactly how we're going to do it as efficiently as possible. And we should have the same attitude for Lent, because it's the same case. We have an important job, and we have a limited time. Our job is to do penance, to sanctify our souls, and to grow closer to God in these 40 days that are approaching. And we have a limited time. We only have 40 days to do this in. Yes, certainly we can do penance anytime we want to, but let's be realistic about this. If we don't do penance during Lent as much as we can, then it's not likely we'll do any at any other time of the year. So in practice, we do have a limited time. Now, our penance can't just be external. It has to reflect the inner movement of our heart. It has to reflect a sincere turning away from our sins and a real regret for them. But when we fast according to the laws of the church, that normally creates in us true feelings of penance, because it makes us see better the pain that we really deserve for our sins. And of course, this is why the church imposes it, because it really is a powerful means to make us humble and contrite. The church really knows how to arouse in us a true sorrow for our sins. Now, to help us understand exactly what the church means by contrition, it's helpful to turn to the liturgy and to see if there's any expression there of the proper attitude we should have towards our sins. And sure enough, one of the best expressions of contrition that the church gives us in the liturgy is the prayer of the Confiteor, with the two prayers that go with it, the Miseriatur and the Indulgentiam, at the beginning of Mass in the prayers at the foot of the altar. These prayers are so important that they're said again in Mass before the distribution of Holy Communion. And in addition to that, the Church says these prayers also in the Divine Office, in the morning on feast days of somewhat lower rank, and then again every single day in the prayers that are supposed to be said at night before one goes to bed. And at that time, they're supposed to be said to ask pardon for any faults committed during the day after an examination of conscience. So the church says this prayer in the liturgy about four or five times every single day. It certainly must be very important. Let's look at these prayers today in some detail, because they're very rich in lessons for us. The Confiteor is said actually twice in the prayers at the foot of the altar. It's said first by the priest for his own sins, and then it's said by the server immediately after him, and the server says it in the name of the entire congregation. But since they say the exact same prayer, and the significance of it is exactly the same, we'll just treat it as one prayer. There are two parts to this prayer of the Confiteor. The first part in which we acknowledge our sinfulness, and the second part in which we ask for the intercession of the saints with God. We begin by confessing our guilt, not only before God, but also in the presence of the blessed in heaven, and then of the faithful on earth. And we ask them to pray on our behalf for pardon from God. In every Mass, we pray repeatedly to the saints, and the prayers of the Mass say very often that we trust that we will receive God's graces on account of the merits of the saints. Now, this is a very important point, because we see this so often in the prayers of the Church, this reliance on the communion of saints and their intercession. And this is in accordance with God's will and the mind of the Church. contrary to heretics who have said that this is something wrong or even idolatrous. It's not. This is part of the economy of salvation, that the saints in heaven and we sinners on earth should help each other and work with each other in different ways. God wants us to pray to the saints, and he wants them to pray for us, so that if we are discouraged at our own sinfulness, we can gain confidence by asking the saints to pray on our behalf. And if we are not discouraged by our own sinfulness, then that indicates an even greater problem probably in our souls. If we don't feel a certain fear from our sins when we approach God, it's probably because we have spiritual pride and blindness towards our own sins. So this teaches us humility, and it also honors the saints, the friends of God who deserve honor. And it shows the unity of the mystical body of Christ, so that each part of the church, whether on this earth or in heaven, should all help each other in the same way that all of the parts of the human body work together for the health of the whole organism, as St. Paul spoke about in his epistles. And this connected system of all of the faithful is referred to by the church as the mystical body of Christ. St. Bonaventure gives us a little bit longer explanation of why and how we should pray to the saints, or rather pray through them to God, which I want to quote in some detail because it's something that's controversial. It's controverted by heretics, but at the same time, it's one of the central ideas of our faith. It's, as you can see in the prayers of the Mass, it's one of the central ideas of the Catholic liturgy. St. Bonaventure has a very beautiful passage in which he explains that God has decreed and desires that we pray to the saints for three reasons. One, because of our own poverty. Two, for the glory of the saints. And three, because of the reverence that is due to God. First of all, because of our own poverty, and we are poor in many different ways. We are poor in merit before God, but we can in a way borrow the merits of the saints to enrich ourselves when we pray. It's kind of like a poor person borrowing a nice suit of clothes from some rich person before he goes to the bank to apply for a loan, or before he goes to an important meeting with someone that he needs to impress. We are also poor in our ability to contemplate God. Sometimes it's easier for us to study the life of a saint and understand and appreciate the holiness that person lived in his life than to understand the infinite holiness of God. It's something that's more accessible to our human nature. We're also poor in our love of God, and this is where the saints can help us out too. We can be more easily drawn to love God from seeing the example and reading the writings of a saint who was on fire with the love of God than by trying to contemplate God and his goodness directly. So that's another help to our weakness, to our poverty. The second reason that St. Bonaventure gave why we should pray or seek the intercession of the saints is for the honor of the saints. Now, God wants us to honor his saints, and in fact, he even gives them the power to work miracles when people pray to them and ask for their intercession. That's a confirmation of this desire that God has. And then the last reason is for the honor of God, because the sinner who has offended God is better off asking pardon through the mediation of someone who is much more worthy than him, rather than approaching God directly. So going back to the Confiteor, we confess our sins, first of all, to Almighty God, and then to the Blessed Mary Ever Virgin. Of course, Our Lady is mentioned directly after God. Who could possibly come before Our Lady in any list of the saints? And since she is the mother of mercy, she is the one that we need to be addressing ourselves to the most in this context. She can obtain us mercy from God better than anyone else. After her, we address Blessed Michael the Archangel. He is the next in the order of creation. He is the highest of all of the good angels, according to the opinion of most of the theologians. All of the angels have a very active role in the management of creation and with us human beings. We have the bad angels trying to drag us into hell through temptation, and the good angels doing the opposite by giving us good inspirations. And we're always in the middle of a big tug of war between these two opposing forces of these powerful creatures. And so it makes sense to ask for the help of the chief of the good angels. After St. Michael, we pray to Blessed John the Baptist, the precursor of our Lord. He spent his life doing penance in the desert, and he prepared people for our Lord's coming by telling people that they had to do penance. And then we pray to the holy apostles, Peter and Paul, and then all the saints. St. Peter received the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and St. Paul, more than any of the other apostles, spread the faith throughout the whole world. During the whole time that the priest and the server are saying this prayer, they are bowed profoundly before God, before the altar. This is an attitude of deep humility. It's the only appropriate posture for someone who is confessing his wickedness and asking God to forgive him. They don't dare to even look up towards heaven while they are saying this to God. They don't consider themselves worthy because of their sins. And their hands are joined together like this, which indicates a recollection of mind and a spirit of devotion. And it indicates that they surrender their own self, their own will up to God. And they have no trust in their own strength, but they have a confidence in the mercy of God. And then the threefold striking of their heart is also a form of penance. It's like they're punishing themselves, even though it doesn't literally cause pain, of course, but it's symbolic in the sense that it's the person's heart that is turned away from God towards sin, and they want to punish it for that. So much so that it's not enough to just hit it once, but they hit it three times. After the confiteor, the priest and the server, who represents the people, pray for mercy on each other's behalf through the second prayer, the Miseriatur, which asks that God will pardon their sins and bring them to life everlasting. This is another beautiful example of the communion of saints, in which the priests and the people pray in turn for each other that God will have mercy on them and forgive them their sins. And then we hear the third prayer, the Indulgentiam, which only the priest says because it's proper to the power of the priest to dispense pardon for sin. And while he's saying this prayer, everybody makes the sign of the cross, which is the expression of our Lord's death, which is the source of the mercy and the forgiveness of our sins that we receive. These three short prayers that we hear twice in every Mass encapsulate the spirit of Lent in a very short formula. The more we think about these prayers and the more we internalize what they express, the more we make their spirit our own and ask for the help of the saints, the more we try to atone for our guilt with the fasting and abstinence of Lent, the more we will obtain what the third prayer asks for us, which is the indulgence, the remission, and the absolution of our sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.